May it please the Court, Thomas Ogden on behalf of petitioners. I'd like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal and welcome to Los Angeles. It's my first time in this court too, so. Your Honor, this is a case in which our position is the facts aren't in dispute. At the immigration court level, there is an adverse credibility determination against Mr. Pong. We appealed to the Board of Immigration Appeals and they overturned the immigration judge's adverse credibility determination and found him credible. However, they didn't find he established a past persecution, and therefore they did not find that he had a well-founded fear of future persecution, and accordingly they upheld the immigration judge's holding. Our position, however, on appeal is that, number one, this is de novo. We believe the BIA, Board of Immigration Appeals, did not apply the proper legal standard to the facts. And
what is the standard that should have been applied by the
We believe that the standard is, number one, de novo, and that a well-founded fear of persecution, a future persecution, just requires a 10% chance that should Mr. Pong go back to China, he is going to get persecuted.
You agree, I gather, that Mr. Pang did not raise past persecution, right, for the IJ or the BIA?
Oh, yes, Your Honor.
Yes. That's not exhausted. So you're stuck with proving future persecution, which requires both a subjective and an objective prong, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
And to that point, you know, we would say that, just on the aside, I've never seen a threshold so low as this 10% chance of future persecution. So we're going to
this 10% chance, though.
This is in INS v. Cardozo-Fonseca, 480 U.S. 421, 1987, Supreme Court case.
But when we're looking at this, we still have the substantial evidence standard of review. So that means we have to be convinced that the evidence compels a finding different than that made by the board, right?
I don't think the substantial evidence.
Tell me what case convinces you that when we look at this finding by the Board of Appeals that we look at it de novo. I heard you say that, and that's not consistent with what.
Oh, no, no, no. I think Your Honor over here was mentioning that the government pointed out we didn't exhaust a administrative remedy regarding past persecution, and if you establish past persecution, it creates a presumption of future persecution.
But our overall standard of review in terms of reviewing the board's decision is substantial evidence.
I don't believe so. I believe it is de novo in this circumstance because we're seeing if they applied this standard of a 10% chance of the occurrence.
Do you have any case law for that? I mean, I agree with what Judge Rollins is indicating. We always review these for substantial evidence. There's no de novo review. We determine whether the IJ and later what the BIA relied upon, if there's substantial evidence to back up the point. Nothing about a 10% rule or anything like that. We analyze whether they have considered it. And in this particular case, Mr. Pang lawfully departed China, no interference on the part of the government. They offer no rebuttal to the government's argument that obtaining this credential cuts against his claim. There's no under obligation to continue to report to the police when he returns. I mean, frankly, I'm anxious to hear you point out some of the contrary. This is a really lightweight case your client's got here. I'm really hard-pressed to find where there is an objective, hardly any objective evidence that he has a well-founded fear of future persecution. Help me out. Why am I missing something?
Well, Your Honor, in terms of
what specific evidence do you point to?
The specific evidence I point to is
that he has a well-founded fear
is that after he arrived in the United States, he testified to the fact that the Chinese, either the public or the public security bureau, which is the equivalent of the police, continued calling his home, asking where is he. You know, this guy was detained.
That's not persecution. That's not persecution.
Well, if he's trying to establish his fear of going back.
But it has to be both subjective and objective. And, you know, persecution is just not an inconvenience. It's not even discrimination, as horrible as that may be. You've got to show that he has fear that he's going to be tortured or treated in an inhumane manner. And I don't get where phone calls from the police asking where he is, even if that's true, establishes a well-founded fear of future persecution. What else have you got?
He's a continued Falun Gong practitioner. If he goes back, we know for a fact, based on the
statement. But he was not persecuted. Let me put it this way. He made no allegation about the past persecution that carries forward. So what do you have showing that Falun Gong today in China is going to result in torture?
In torture,
Or persecution, a little less than torture.
A little less than torture. Well, submitted with the in the record is the, as I mentioned, the State Department report, where the State Department of State recognizes Falun Gong is indeed something that people do get persecuted for, whether it's torture.
Well,
I don't,
if they're leaders of Falun Gong and they're viewed as being a threat to civil order, that's right. Regular members. There's nothing in that State Department report, is there, that shows they're going to be persecuted?
I believe people who are quote unquote not leaders do experience persecution.
Can you cite me anywhere in the record to that?
Let's see. I'd say Administrative Record 376, and it's quoted in the opening brief. Since the government banned Falun Gong in 1999, the mere belief in the discipline has been sufficient grounds for practitioners to receive punishments ranging from loss of employment to imprisonment.
Okay, so if we accept that is true, mm-hmm. How has Mr. Pong shown, you have to show an individualized fear.
Yes.
And in this case, there's nothing in the record to indicate that Mr. Pong would continue to practice Falun Gong if he returned to China.
But I would also say there's nothing stating that he wouldn't, because he has continued his practice ever since he's been here, according in the record. He practices in Alhambra, and there's plenty of Falun Gong practitioners in the Chinese community.
Right, but there is no indication that he would be willing to continue to practice it in China, knowing that it's not permitted. And that's part of the showing, that's part of his burden to show that he would continue to practice Falun Gong and therefore be subject to persecution as part of his individualized showing.
I understand your question, Your Honor, but I believe in testimony he said he's going to continue to practice Falun Gong. Let me look. Your Honor, is it possible if I...
You can do it on rebuttal.
And so I can save the time?
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Yes. Do you want to save the remaining of your time for rebuttal?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
I'll go find that for you.
Thank you.
May it please the Court. My name is Lance Stell, and I represent the respondent, the Attorney General of the United States. The main issue before this Court is whether the record compels the conclusion that the petitioner has a well-founded fear of persecution where he didn't practice Falun Gong for about a year before coming to the United States. He came to the United States via a government-approved student exchange program. He has not presented any evidence to the agency that he will practice on return to China, and he has not presented any specific evidence that the Chinese government seeks to harm him.
Counsel, I do have some questions about those facts, but tell us about the application or non-application of Chao versus Mukasey.
Zhao, with the 28J letter. It depends on how narrow or broad you read Zhao. In Zhao, the petitioner avoided official channels in leaving China. And so, but also the safety of the friends in Zhao was not sufficient where there was no evidence that they continued to practice Falun Gong in China.
Now, that's, I guess, the specific area that I have questions about the facts. He testified, apparently, that he stopped practicing for a short period after the government prohibited, quote-unquote, the Chinese government banned the practice. And so he stopped practicing for a while. But he was arrested even after he stopped practicing.
That's not my understanding of the record.
He was arrested on July 28, 99, about 10 minutes after arriving at his house for nightly practice session.
Well, yeah, he practiced, and from February 98 is when he started. He practiced until July 21st, 1999, out in public.
Right.
And then in July 22nd is when Chinese banned the practice.
So if a person stops practicing because of fear of persecution, does that mean they're no longer a practitioner?
Well, in this case, there's no evidence that he stopped because of fear of persecution. He stopped practicing in public by implication because the Chinese government told him to do so. And so then he started practicing at his uncle's house. And he did that from July 23rd to July 28th.
And what's the standard response these days of the BIA to Falun Gong participants' requests for asylum?
Is it
very depending on what area of China they come from, or is it normally refusal to grant asylum, or is it normally a granting?
A lot of it is, well, I can't speak, I don't have the full, I don't know how many Falun Gong claims there are.
We don't either, but I assume you're involved in
it.
That's why I asked.
I can certainly inquire about it, but I know from my own experience, it's largely based on the context. I haven't read a decision where it's narrowed based on a province.
Nothing like that.
Right. Nothing like he's in Fujian province, therefore.
Does
his
the BIA, however, accept commonly that Falun Gong is a basis for persecution in China?
The board accepts Falun Gong as a ground to be awarded asylum, yes.
Depending on the facts.
Depending on the facts, depending on the context of which the case is brought before it.
So, does it turn here on whether Peng is a continuing practitioner, or does it turn on the level of persecution he received before he left?
It seems from the agency's decisions that it turns on the continuing, that it doesn't, there's no basis in it. As far as I've read the decisions, it doesn't seem like it's a rise to the level of persecution of Falun Gong. There are cases that, you know, that may be.
The BIA found here that Peng's 15-day detention and mistreatment did not rise to the level of persecution. So the basic finding here of the BIA is that the persecution...
He didn't raise it. He didn't raise that claim. And so
past persecution is not in play.
Past persecution is not in play in this case.
Right. So it boils down to whether or not he sufficiently established reasonable likelihood, or whatever the word is, of future persecution. Right? Reasonable probability.
Right. Correct.
Of future persecution. So why don't you tell us why he failed to meet that burden, why we're not compelled to find to the contrary?
Well, first, he has not presented any evidence that he's going to continue to practice Falun Gong when he returns to China.
Because he stopped voluntarily before he left.
Right.
So that's a fair inference that he wouldn't practice when he returns.
And there's even, though the Chinese authorities sought him out initially by calling his parents, once they found out that he was here in the United States legally, there's no evidence that they continued searching for him or continuing inquiring him. There's no evidence that they mandated him to report, to return and report. There's simply no evidence that the government, Chinese government, is interested in harming Mr. Ping.
His government-sanctioned exchange program here as a student occurred after the alleged past persecution, right?
Correct.
So I guess I'm having trouble seeing where the government's really going after him big time, because they allowed him to come to the United States. They must have known about this. At least we have to assume they knew about it.
Right. And it's even a government-approved program. So it's not like he slipped through the cracks on a tourist visa or something like that. But it's a government-approved program, and there's just no evidence that the government remains interested in him.
How old was the petitioner when he received his exchange program participation?
I'm not sure I understand.
Is he a young man? Is he a teenager? Is he a...
At the time of the immigration proceedings, he was 24, so since he was
approved for this.
It seems like I'm guessing around 18. Because in 2004 is when he was 24, and I think he came in 2000, so 20, yeah, around 20 years old.
So what's your response to opposing counsel's argument that the board used the wrong standard in determining whether or not there's a reasonable probability of future persecution?
Well, this court evaluates it for substantial evidence, whether he has a well-founded fear of future persecution.
So, but if his argument is the board used too high a standard, it's, you know, that didn't use the 10% or whatever he's arguing should have applied. Would that be an issue of law?
Well,
do we know in the record what standard the board used?
The board does not explicitly. The board states that it agreed with IJ's conclusion that petitioner failed to meet the well-founded fear.
So it didn't say what percentage was required or.
Right, and so. By presumption of regularity, we must presume that the board applied the correct legal standard.
Let me summarize in two or three sentences the items against him.
Okay.
In his favor that he presented, and ask you why that doesn't meet the standard. He was released in August of 1999 after 15 days in jail. After he was released, his parents paid on his behalf a 5,000 renminbi fine. A monetary fine. Mm-hmm. School authorities vouched that he was a good student, but he was placed under behavioral supervision at the school to monitor his Falun Gong activities, and he received an administrative warning. Peng School was required to report his behavior to the police by telephone. He attended school under these conditions until July of 2000, when he got his visa. And then finally, his parents warn him. He's over here, and his parents warn him that if he returned to China, he, quote, would possibly face another arrest, and urged him to try best not to go back to China. Does that not equal a substantial evidential showing of a properly supported belief or fear of persecution? Under the Ninth Circuit standard.
The Prasad 15-day detention and the harassment that he suffered does not rise to the level of persecution.
I mean, that's really the point, is it not? That all of these things are unfortunate. This isn't persecution under our case law.
Correct. And besides the fact that he didn't exhaust the past persecution issues and all that kind of stuff, yeah. If the court has no other questions for me, the respondent states that the court should deny the petition for review.
All right. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Rebuttal.
Your Honor, I'm still looking for the point in here, and it may not be, and it may be just when you look at this.
It's a very important point. So yes. It would appear to me that you would have had that right at your fingertips when you came here.
Yes, Your Honor, and I thought I saw it, but...
Counsel, I'm interested, just following up on what we talked about with the government's counsel, if you take the totality of what he said, why is it persecution?
Why is it persecution?
Can you cite any of our cases where we have found what he alleged to be persecution is in fact persecution?
There's no cases in the brief, but I think it's just really factually driven and...
Well, we get these cases all the time.
I understand, Your Honor.
All kinds of cases involving various and sundry things, and certainly lots of felon gone cases. And I can think of some really horrendous ones with respect to leaders where they're, you know, they're beat and they're kicked and their skin is battered with, you know, scratching devices and their parents are beat up and their money is robbed and things like that. This is a basically at the time was a, you know, a teenager. And, you know, the government wants to be sure he doesn't get too far off the track here, and they counsel his parents and don't do that again. Okay, that's unfortunate. But it's not persecution. So I'm asking you, am I mistaken? Is there a case that what happened here is persecution?
I do not know off the top of my head, but I think it's just a shame that we have to.
Is that fatal to your case?
I don't think so. I'd like to clarify a point with the J-1 visa that you brought up. And government actually cites in here, you know, he was given the opportunity to leave, and that doesn't compel a finding of future persecution. But here, the fact was his family bailed him out. His uncle was the principal at the school, and he went out and said, I'm going to cover for this guy. I'm going to watch his behavior. Turn him over to me. Please release him. That's how he got out, okay? And that's how he got. It's not easy getting a passport and a visa in China, and the government keeps on harping, why did it take him so long? Well, what's the alternative? Should he go get smuggled over here?
But the fact is he got a government-sponsored visa.
Sure, and this is 1998, and I'm thinking, it's passport agency, it's police. I mean, it's the school saying, here's our group of people on this J-1 program we want to send over. We don't necessarily know the circumstance. It wasn't when they didn't go into it in the underlying case regarding.
What's the difference between this and, say, a young person of color in Pasadena that gets in the wrong crowd and a police sergeant that knows the family calls him up and says, you know, Mom, you got to watch out. Your boy's hanging around with the wrong people. But I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to help him get into USC on a scholarship. Is that persecution?
In that situation, I don't see how it's quite. I don't think so. But my point is just a shame that this Mr. Pong has to go back and stop doing what he likes to practice.
Where the United States should be different. Yes. That's when it's not the United States.
Absolutely. And
the Republic of China. They have their own set of rules. But what we're governed by here is U.S. law that requires us to find persecution. And our cases have repeatedly made clear that although discrimination, violations of what we would consider First Amendment rights and so on are really unfortunate, indeed deplorable in many circumstances, that's not persecution. So what I've asked you for is case law that shows that these facts constitute persecution, and you've told me that you don't know of any.
Not off the top of my head, Your Honor. No, if you want to give me additional time to brief, which I don't think so, then I would be more than happy to go look, but I don't think that's going to happen. But
well, we assume that you looked for your strongest cases when you filed your brief.
Well, sure, Your Honor, but I'm coming in kind of out of the bullpen here, so I'm taking what I got here. And, yeah, I might have done a different strategy here, but I'm taking what I got. So if there's no further questions, then I appreciate your time, and thank you.
Thank you. Thank you to both counsel. The case just argued is submitted for decision by the court. That concludes our calendar for the day, and we are on recess until 9 a.m. tomorrow morning.
All rise.